Welcome to the Aquarimax audio show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 245, recorded April 6th, 2015.
We're almost halfway through the 200s. Look at that.
I know.
We're approaching that point.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
We're approaching halfway through 2015.
Is that even possible?
Well, I guess it is. You know, a couple of months.
We're approaching it, I guess.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
But we're not there yet either to 250,
but
we're close.
It'll take us 5 weeks, and then we'll be even closer to halfway through.
It's true.
So.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll have to do something cool for 250th episode of the podcast.
Okay, we'll think of something.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so we have today Jeremiah in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Matt in Perth, Western Australia, and Brian in Maine.
Indeed we do. Let us begin.
Okay, we're going to go to Jeremiah first. And he says, "Hello, Aquarimax. I've attached a video of my auto siphon in action. Apologies for the quality. It was more difficult to take a video of this than I thought it would be. It's hard to do one-handed."
Yeah, because he's operating the auto siphon with one hand and then videoing with another. But you do get the idea, though.
Yeah. He says, "There is a clamp you can buy if you are using it for the intended purpose of homebrewing, but the clamp is designed for a glass carboy, not an aquarium, so I am unsure if it would work for an aquarium." Okay, since I have never brewed any homes or homed any brews or anything of that sort, what's a glass carboy?
I'm assuming
it's not a boy who's also a car that's made out of glass.
No, but a carboy is it's a container.
Mm-hmm.
It's a large container.
What makes it itself?
What makes it a carboy and not something else?
Yeah, why isn't it just a jar or a vase or what's it like?
I don't know what the exact definition of it, but it is a glass container, much like a jar or a bottle. It's large and they come in different sizes. I don't know.
Okay.
I know that people have repurposed them for uses as bed at homes and things like that. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Learn something new every day.
I believe they have flat sides in general, but I could be wrong about that.
Okay.
Okay.
He says, "I have also provided a link to what appears to be a similar product to what I use. However, I purchased mine locally and not on Amazon." So he's got the link there and we'll put that up.
We'll put that on the show page and we'll also put the link.
Yes, the video, of course.
Yes, we'll add it to the Aquarimax Contributors playlist so you can easily find it.
Have you talked about the playlists on the podcast?
I don't know if I have or not. Anyway, it's something fairly new that we've been doing with the Aquarimax YouTube channel, which has now either reached or is about to reach the 1,000th subscriber.
Which we thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, it's got at least 998, I think, at this point, and may indeed have more. Oh, I hate it when that happens. Sorry, folks. Anyway, the 1,000 subscribers, pretty good, and we're well over 300,000 views. So the channel's growing, and we appreciate all of you who are watching our YouTube videos. And so this will actually, this video is not on our channel, but it's on our playlist. And so if you go to that playlist, some of them, all the Aquarimax contributors, when they upload or send a video, we put it on the Aquarimax contributors playlist. Some of them are uploaded directly to our channel, like Tony. He sends them to us as files so that we post them on the channel directly, or some like Jeremiah, where he's got his own channel, but we can still add it to our playlist so you can see it either way.
Right.
So go check it out. I do really like the idea of repurposing things when you find that they work really well, as Jeremiah has for this. So why not give it a go? He says he likes it better than his Python for doing water changes in his 20 gallons. So.
That's pretty cool.
It's worth a try if you want to check that out.
Alrighty, so thank you, Jeremiah. Shall we go on to Matt?
Yep.
Okay.
Matt in Perth, Western Australia.
And he sent us a voice message, and poor Matt is not feeling very well.
Or at least he wasn't when he left the message.
Well, yes, hopefully you're feeling better by now. But he said, kind of, he says he doesn't have his usual energy levels in the message, but we're still glad he called.
Yeah, still glad to get a useful update on what he's doing.
Because because he's going to tell us about the fish vet visit, yeah, right?
Which we asked about.
Yes.
So. And about the ammonia in his marine tank as well. So here we go.
G'day, Aquarium Max. This is Matt from Perth, West Australia. So, the marine tank, I've noticed an increase in ammonia. It used to be 0.25, now it's 0.5 parts per million, which is still pretty low, but it is an increase. I can now see algae on the side of the glass. First time I've ever been happy to see algae on the side of the glass. Not so great for fish, unfortunately, but they seem to be coping all right with it. And I can't take them back now. And they're actually contributing to the cycle because I'm feeding them, and then that is then producing ammonia, and then we've got more to feed to the bacteria. Nitrates and nitrites are still reading zero, so we'll see. I think I may have been a little over-eager with adding livestock, but I'm not too worried about it. I've decided against adding said anemone and clownfish, like I said on my last message. The fish vet came for the discus and did some water sample tests and found out that the discus have gill flukes, which just look like these blobs moving around on the microscope slide. He took this skin scraping and chucked it on a slide. It was really interesting watching them going around. So I've decided I need a microscope so I can do that in future. And I've got a treatment for them now, and hopefully that'll make them all better. They're not showing that much size of improvement so far, but I figure even if it has killed all of the gill flukes, it is going to take time for them to heal, because everyone takes a while to recover from an infection. So I think things are going a bit better there. But just to summarize, I have purchased 8 discus in total for that tank. I now have 4 left. So they're not exactly helping their reputation of being delicate at the moment. I had a discus in the big tank for ages who lasted a long time without any problems, but these guys are having some issues for some reason or another, even though they're in a very minimally stocked tank. So the nitrogen issues with the nitrates and nitrites shouldn't be as big a deal, but we'll see. Hopefully these guys will recover, because like I said in the last message, all of them are now showing signs of this long slit along the gills, but all of the remaining discus are eating, which is good. That's a good sign. The ones that died, which 2 have now died from this gill infection, they stopped eating, and that was kind of the beginning of the end for them. So hopefully this new treatment I've got will work well, and I'm also hoping that the ammonia will start turning into nitrites in the marine tank soon. It's all very slow, and I don't know. Like most people, I just want things to happen faster, but I'm being forced to be patient. So, no real questions this week, just an update. I'll talk to you guys next time. Bye.
All right. Well, thank you, Matt, for your update. And
that's encouraging that he found out what was wrong.
It's good to hear that. Treatment. Yeah.
Hopefully by this time, I mean, we got the message. What, a few days ago?
Right. I don't remember the exact date, but it was several days ago. So
hopefully they've made some improvement by now.
Yeah. One would hope that by now, and by the time everyone's listening to this, that Matt's discus are doing much better.
And hopefully you feel better too, Matt.
Right. And I was interested to hear also about the ammonia that it is climbing. That is a little scary, because even 0.5 ammonia, 0.5 parts per million, is enough to cause stress to the fish. So I think your decision not to add any more livestock to the tank that you mentioned both in this message and the previous one is a very wise one. It sounds like, you know, the fish you have in there, I believe it's a green chromis, or they're fairly tough, and even though the ideal would be not to expose it to any ammonia, like you said, you can't take it back now, so I believe they're supposed to be fairly resilient and able to weather a little bit of difficulty, and then once the cycle has settled down, it'll be, you know, then you can look into the other livestock, like you were saying. In my experience, the worst waiting is getting that ammonia to hit zero. once you get the nitrites going, once they appear, that secondary set of bacteria will usually come pretty quickly in comparison to the first, getting over that first hump of the ammonia spike. The nitrite spike, or the nitrate spike, less time, typically. So hopefully you'll be coming around the bend soon, and that'll be over. You won't have to worry about it so much. But it is a good sign that you're seeing algae, like you said. It's the first time you've been happy to see algae. It was funny, but it's true. Mm-hmm. Algae is a sign that the cycle is progressing. I am also waiting at work for my brackish tanks to... they've cycled to some extent, but the shrimp, the Opiola shrimp that I've got in there are not being very active, and it's kind of frustrating. In cylindrical tanks, they tend to be very active and visible, but I'm putting them in these rectangular tanks, and they're not as visible. You kind of have to wait for them to have a higher population before they get really active and visible. So I'm going to have to let them breed, and they have been breeding in the other containers quite a bit. But once I get them into the rectangular containers, it might be a while before they start breeding. Sometimes you move them into a new container and they don't breed very quickly, so see how that goes. But I'm being afflicted in the same way, having to wait and wait and wait and wait. Hmm.
You know what Inigo Montoya says.
I hate waiting.
Okay.
Okay, Matt. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed for those four remaining discus. We hope the gill flukes are killed off completely, and you won't have to worry about it again.
It's time for that station break thingy when I tell you how you can play an active part in the Aquarimax community. If you want your questions or comments featured on the show, send us an email at info@aquarimax.com or call and leave a message at 801-477-0629. You can also subscribe to the Aquarimax YouTube channel, like our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter.
And now for a blatant but extremely brief plug.
Our ebook, The Aquarimax Guide to 7 Easy Live Foods, is available on Amazon.com for $2.99. Should we go to Maine?
Yeah, let's go to Maine.
So we had kind of a fun message.
We did. It was a really fun message.
It's from Brian.
Brian in Maine. Mm-hmm. He wanted to buy some Daphnia. And this was a while ago. He sent us the payment and everything. And then we were trying to figure out a ship date because it was so bitterly cold in Maine.
It was too cold to send them.
We couldn't send them for a good while. But then it turned out that he had a small population of Daphnia at the time, and he wanted to, you know, get some Daphnia really going. He didn't have any. And he didn't have enough.
They were having a little bit of a hard time.
Yeah, is that what was they weren't really reproducing a lot. And, you know, as he was waiting for things to settle down so that we could ship, he got a copy of the Aquarimax Guide to 7 Easy Live Foods. And then he sent a message. I sent him a message saying, okay, I think the weather has calmed down a bit. Do you think this might be a good ship date this next week? And he said, don't worry about it. I got the Aquarimax Guide to 7 Easy Live Foods, and now my Daphnia are going crazy. Got all kinds of them.
Which I think is a pretty cool testimonial of the book.
And he sent us a picture of the book on his Kindle and his Daphnia tank just going crazy.
Full of Daphnia.
Yeah, they're thriving. So that was really cool. And I asked him if we could talk about it on the podcast.
He said yes.
He said we could.
So.
And he even said, you know, I'm donating the money. You can read what he said.
He says, thanks to your book information, I've grown my existing small Daphnia culture exponentially. I am therefore donating the money I gave you to the Aquarimax cause. That was pretty nice. So we're glad that Daphnia are doing well. So
he says, I think you and Kelly are really doing a great job and keep up the good work. So thank you. Much appreciated. We're glad you found the book useful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's been nice to see Aquarimaxers buy it and make various comments about it. And especially comments like this when it's turned out to be a very positive experience. And to all the you Aquarimaxers out there who have purchased the book, thank you very much. We appreciate your support. And if you would do us an extra favor and put a review up on Amazon, that would be awesome. Mm-hmm. We've got several up there now, but the more you put up there, the more people see it and the more people buy it. So
it's good.
It's great. And we've got some other things in the works coming along, some other books and articles and so on coming up soon. So
we'll keep you informed.
Keep your eyes open for those. Yep, and we'll let you know when things come out. It takes an awful lot of work to write a book, even a fairly short one. That's what it I really learned from does. The last one. So it's an incredible lot of work, but keep plugging away at it, and it's coming along. So I think we have any more fishy updates. Oh, I had a question. I'm just going to throw it out there.
What's your question?
Okay. First question is, do any of you keep puffers? Any of the current Aquarimaxer crowd out there, do you keep any puffers of any sort? That's my first question.
What's your second question?
My second question is, if you do keep puffers, have you ever fed them crustaceans? And if so, which types? I've kept puffers before. It's been a while, but I used to keep dwarf puffers. And I would feed them various things, including lots of snails. They loved snails. But I would also give them amphipods. They loved those as well. And Daphne and various things. But my question is, I guess what I want to lead up to is, have any of you ever fed them terrestrial isopods?
Mm.
I'm curious about that. Because it seems...
like roly-polies.
Yeah, roly-polies or other types of terrestrial isopods. The wood lice, you know, the ones that don't roll up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about that because I often found that providing the puffers with suitable food could get difficult if they ran out of snails or isopods and things. And, you know, that was back before I had an isopod culture. And now I have this huge isopod culture and I could support quite a number of dwarf puffers on it. I'm sure it's got both the Daphne and the isopods in it. But I'm just curious. You know, we did have an Aquarimaxer mention something about puffers and Malaysian trumpet snails not too long ago.
Oh, really? Do they eat the shells or do they, like, suck it out?
I think they suck it out, but I'm not sure. But anyway, I would be really interested to find out if any of you have ever tried terrestrial isopods. Because, you know, I culture several species of them. A couple of them are very, very small, comparable in size or even smaller than the amphipods that I culture. I was just thinking, like, they could eat, if they would be interested in eating dwarf whitewood lice or the Costa Rican micropods, then you'd have a ready source of food that breeds very quickly. That would be, you know, something else to add to their diet.
That's true.
A bit of variety. And with larger puffers, you know, maybe the giant oranges.
Oh, yeah.
Would be good. I don't think a dwarf puffer would really be able to handle an adult one, but a bigger puffer species might be quite interested. So, anyway, that's something that just came to mind. I'm wondering about that.
So if you have an answer for us,
yeah, if you happen to keep puffers and you fed them terrestrial isopods before, then let us know. And even if you haven't, just tell us what kind of puffers you have and what you feed them, that sort of thing. Be interesting to know. All right. So I think that's all for this week.
Okay.
So, to all you Aquarimaxers out there,
may the fish
be with you. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.